the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILX.
Welcome back, Jack and Tom, 1320 WILS. I'm Tom Crawford, my partner Jack Ebeling en route to Evanston. We're going to bring him in here in a second. Dave Benton is doing a dual role here. He's going both ways. He's going running the control panel, producing the show.
I'm and the Brandon Inge of the day.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I'll call it the Jerry Lumpy. He was the ultimate utility guy for the Tigers back in the 60s.
Well,
he could do it all, but he wasn't very good at any of it. But that's the only thing about Jerry Lumpy, unlike Dave Benton. But I also want to remind our listeners out there, you can Twitter us, Jack and Tom 1320, and also Facebook, The Jack and Tom Show, for your social networking input. Any thoughts you might have on about our show or what's going on in the world of sports? And obviously, Sparty fans want to talk just about everything when it comes to football and basketball. In fact, my daughter, Dave, was out last night. She's an Izzone type now as a freshman. She's out there camping all night.
They're giving out Izzone tickets to freshmen?
Damn, I don't know what the heck the deal is. She comes over. She parks her sleeping bag and all that stuff, comes over to watch her brother play and introduce at senior night and all that stuff, watches the game.
That's not fair. That's not fair. How come you can camp out, yet you're allowed to leave your spot
I don't know.
Line? I'd like to see somebody try that, like a concert ticket giveaway or something, where he's like, I'll be back. Just hold my spot.
I'm not sure how that worked. I didn't get the details, but I'm glad she was there for her brother last night. It was a great night. And now we're going to bring Jack Gavling back in. What's your 20 right now? I'm using CB talk, Jack. I used to be a CB guy back in the 70s. What's your 20 means? What's your location?
Well, we're south of Chicago. We'll be in Evanston. Maybe an hour or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, but plenty of time to watch the Spartans and the Wildcats. Hey, Tom, I maybe you talked about this and I missed it, but DeWitt lost last night to St. John's, right?
Oh, yeah, 49-35. In fact, I had to run a quick errand at halftime and brought that score back, so we could announce it. The PA system at Lynn C. Adams that DeWitt was down to St. John's. You know, East Lansing had beaten St. John's 16-10 and that kind of a head knocker. And that, you know, enhances the credibility of East Lansing. I mean, DeWitt has been such a juggernaut offensively, but they ran into some offense themselves in the Red Wings last night, and that was played up at Kelly Short Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best football anybody's seen up there so far this year.
Yeah, really. You know, the Chippewas, really, it hasn't been. My daughter, Taylor, is a freshman there, and she's also enthusiastic about CMU and going to the games and everything, but it hasn't been exactly a great year for the Chips.
I'm almost convinced somebody's paying Radcliffe to shave points. I'm almost convinced that is going on.
Well, that
at this
couple
point.
Of bad losses for the Chippewas, losing to Ball State and Miami of Ohio at home.
You can't lose at home, especially to those teams. Can't lose at home.
Losing at home, Jack. That's what I have a hard time with, and that's why Michigan losing to Michigan State and Iowa, that was hard to stomach. You don't lose at home.
Well, you know, you should be used to it after App State and Toledo.
Yeah, anything goes today. Well, anyway, we've had some great that last segment. We had some some great interviews. Obviously talking about college football. You know, with Chris Martin with the Big Ten Network and JJ with high school football. In fact, we're inviting our callers, 393-3700. The number is the call if you want to chime in, either high school football for this next segment or college football, and we'll roll with college football from that point forward when we get into 920 and beyond. But what's your expectations today, Jack, as far as the Spartans? Do you see a potential letdown or not?
I don't think a letdown is the right word, because I don't think that after the Illinois game, they're satisfied with their performance. If they had rolled over the Illini, then maybe they'd be fat and sassy. But I think the offense thinks it has to play a lot better. I just think Northwestern with Dan Persa is going to give them fits. And Michigan State has not played that kind of a passing attack in a while. So I'm looking for a pretty close game there, and Michigan State's going to have to play well.
You know, this is a great day from my personal standpoint, with the rain, to stay in Crawford Indoor and just watch football. Okay. Now, you're going to be dry in the press box, but on the field, the weather could affect that game. But you know what? I think it'll affect Michigan State in a positive way. Not that they're going to need any help against Northwestern, but I think if it starts raining and get drippy and the execution of a passing game, in my opinion, my uneducated opinion, appears to be more difficult than the pound-out, three-headed monster that Michigan State's running attack can serve up. And if I see rain coming into play, I see Sparty having a big day today.
Well, that would be just fine with a lot of the Michigan State fans who are there, and there are a ton of them. You know, we talked about what the difference is this season, Tom, and there are a lot of things. It's not as simple as just one factor, but I want to throw one at you and see if you think this makes any sense. For a long time, the University of Michigan's success was built on Michigan and Ohio. And whether Michigan is successful or not recruiting the state of Florida and with the national pattern they have, what they have done is open the door for Michigan State to get that second-level player that Ohio State is not automatically going to get. And if you look at this roster, so many of the key players that Michigan State has are from the state of Ohio who might not otherwise have been here. You talk about B.J. Cunningham. You talk about Le'Veon Bell. You talk about Jarrell Worthy. You talk about Greg Jones, certainly, Johnny Adams, Chris L. Rucker when he was in uniform. They have really done well, eight key players, Aaron Bates, certainly. So they have capitalized in the state of Ohio, and Michigan doesn't have those players anymore.
Well, no, very, very valid point, Jack, because even when Michigan and Ohio State were going head to head with Bo and Woody in Ohio, it would be almost like you take one, I'll take one. Fremont, right. Ohio, you take Bob Brzezinski, I'll take Rob Lytle.
Right.
You know, it was one of those things. Now Michigan State is coming in and taking that role in Ohio. And I'm not saying that Michigan's still not getting good recruits, albeit they're kind of slanting it towards, you know, little slot receivers a little too much for my liking, but they're still
right.
getting caliber talent. And they're right now with D. Hart, this latest recruit out of Ohio or out of state of Florida in Orlando, they're now in the rivals.com for whatever that is worth, you know, like 23
right.
in the nation. So they're moving back in a little bit. But you got to get those guys from Ohio. Those are drivable distance. The homesick factor doesn't weigh in. They're used to playing in that weather. I can't argue with that. I think that has been really key. And D'Antonio's got a good hold in Ohio. Don Treadwell recruits that area in West Virginia. They're doing really good. They're really, and that's the difference. I can't argue with that. And the depth that Michigan State is having is showing up on special teams. And the thing about Michigan State that I'm seeing this year more than anything, I used to diss on the secondary because, you know, almost like hopefully, well, their secondary is not that good. You know, that'll be
right.
porous, but they're getting turnovers. They're getting
right.
picks. And that's actually what turned around the game last week against Illinois. It was that, you know, that lighter fluid that got their offense going.
And maybe bigger than anything else, they're getting stops on third down. That has been their major problem over the last couple
Great
of years.
Point.
It didn't
yep.
matter whether it was third and one or third and 15. They were not getting a stop on third down, and they're starting
yep.
to do that this year.
Yeah, and that changed. I mean, even Florida Atlantic was converting third downs against Michigan State. Not so in the Big Ten season, and Michigan State has gotten 18 takeaways this year.
Right, right.
And 14 all last year, and three of those came on special teams. So Michigan State got three interceptions in Big Ten play last year. It's had three in each of the last
yeah,
two games.
In contrast, and speaking of in contrast, a couple of the in contrast comments, third and long means first down for the opponent who's ever playing Michigan. That goes without saying. And then the turnover ratio. I mean, Michigan is 0-7 in the turnover ratio the last – two games, and they were double digits on the short end in 2008 and 2009. It's here we go again, getting beat up on turnovers, and that's part of the game. That's called making plays. That's part.
Well, Tom, is that systemic, or do you attribute that to the personnel? They're not being coached correctly, or does that system lend itself high risk, high reward? Some more turnovers.
Well, absolutely. I'm all the above to answer your question, and then but you know on defense. You know, on defense, it just goes beyond, you know, just young and you know, making youthful mistakes. I mean, they're just flat out not doing the fundamental things. That slant pass, JT
right.
Turner, for example, is Michigan's best cover corner, and I use that term best cover corner loosely. But my
right.
God, I mean, and that one slant pattern, that last Iowa touchdown was just nauseating. Everybody saw it. Everybody saw
right.
it before the snap. This
right.
is a touchdown. Boom. And that's a, you know, given inside leverage. This is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy, that go beyond, oh, we're young. Oh,
yeah,
you know, we
yeah.
had injuries. It goes way beyond that, just the fundamentals, and that's the part that Michigan fans, the educated ones and the uneducated ones, both look at that program and say, what the heck is going on?
Well, I don't mean to club the Michigan defense like a baby seal, because Wisconsin and Ohio State are going to do that, but the things that have really bothered me about the Michigan program this year, and there are two, And I think they go above and beyond the youth of the team. One was the decision that Rich Rodriguez made with a little more than 6 minutes to go against Michigan State when he punted the football and basically said, we're going to try to hold the score down here. We've given up.
Right.
The other one was last week in a game that was still winnable, the inability to kick off within the field of play. Now, we know they can't kick a field goal.
Right.
But when you keep kicking the ball out of bounds
twice
and giving a team like Iowa the ball on the 40-yard line,
it looked like it was a strategy, the amount of times that they did it. Well, you thought it was. It honestly seemed like that was a strategy for them.
The field is only 160 feet wide, guys. I mean, if you can't kick it onto the field of play, you really shouldn't be in uniform.
It's not like Devin Hester's back there. I mean, I didn't get that at all, and that shows you how special teams is not getting the emphasis. That's a half a turnover, because that's 20
right.
yards. A turnover
right.
is like 35, 40 yards. That's a half
right.
a turnover. That's crazy stuff. And what it did is it took the momentum, because you can always see the body language of that defense when they come
yep.
up, the little, you can just
here
see
we
the
go
whole,
again type of body
language.
You know,
pep
body
in the
language.
Step is what I'm looking. The pep in the step wasn't that defense didn't have it. They kind of go, oh, God, now we're in the 40-yard line. It changes the whole dynamic.
You can push the ball to the 30-yard line and make them fair catch it.
Right.
You can bounce the ball down the middle of the field and, you know, try to stop them that way. It's not like Iowa has the most electric return men in the country. So.
Right, and it wasn't a step North had when, you know, that they were kicking into either. I just, you know, that one just, in you know, deflated that whole effort to get back in that game, because that was a tangible. Once again, I'm just not sold on Iowa yet. I'm going to be a big Hawkeye fan. Herky the Hawkeye is my man next week. I will say that right now. But I do not have a lot of confidence that Iowa's defense is good as everybody says it is, because of who they played and what Michigan did to them last week and what Michigan State can do to them. In fact, of having that, you know, that two aspect of their offense that, you know, they can run and they can throw. And that's really going to put a lot of pressure on Iowa next week.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, but Michigan State's got some work to do first, and so do the Hawkeyes.
You betcha.
An Iowa team that's got Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Ohio State all coming into Iowa City. So the schedule is going to be very important. And another factor, Michigan had its bye this week. Michigan State gets its bye after week 10. And that's not a bad time to have one if you can get this far, because it gets you rested for those last two games and gets you healthy. Would they like to have it maybe a week or two earlier? Maybe. But I think right now they're pretty satisfied with where they are.
No, you're damn right they're satisfied with where they are. And even if they go 11-1 and lose to Iowa, just think of the – God, it really irritates me to say these good things about Michigan State. I got to go to a break. I can't handle this anymore, Jack. 3-9.
Yeah, let me say two very quickly. First of all, congratulations to Kelsey showing the class to be part of the Izzone camp out. Second of all, you know, I think that Michigan State in a position to win 11 games has never won 11 games.
Right.
At Michigan, there used to be a time that 11 wins was a disappointment.
Right.
Never happened at Michigan State, so this is uncharted water.
This is really uncharted. 393-3700 is the number to call. We're going to open the lines up. Jack, we're going to have you back at 9:50 after we have Rosie on. Get your more thoughts on. Keep driving. Have Andrea drive safely there and get you to Ryan Field, and we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tom.
Also, to our reminder to our fans out there, they want to Facebook the Jack and Tom Show, or on Twitter at Jack and Tom Show 1320. Give us your input. Give us a call. 393-3700 is the number to call on the Jack and Tom Show.